الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن مرآة أخيه والمؤمن أخو المؤمن يكف عليه ضيعته ويحوطه من ورائه. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Dear respected elders, brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, has created the human race with different backgrounds, with different statuses, whether it be financial, whether it be cultural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has diversified this ummah. In the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given status to some people amongst you over others. This is the unique system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for the world to function. There will be the wealthy, there will be those that are poor, there will be the leaders, there will be the followers, there will be those that are strong, there will be those that are weak. But ultimately, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that from whichever class you are, from whichever background you are, you have to work with each other for your own benefit, whether that benefit be the benefit of this dunya or whether the benefit be of the akhirah. One of the salient features of a believer is that he is considered a brother of another believer. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Al-mu'minu mir'atu akhi. The believer, he is a mirror for another believer. Wal-mu'minu akhul mu'min. And a believer is a brother of another believer. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions two qualities, two outstanding qualities of this brotherhood amongst the Muslims. Yakuffu alayhi dayatahu wa yahutuhu min wada'ihi. That a Muslim brother always protects another Muslim brother. Number one. Number two, a Muslim brother always defends a Muslim brother. In terms of protection, if you are aware that your Muslim brother is being taken advantage of in a business deal, then you are there to protect him. If someone backbites about him, someone speaks ill of him, then you are there to defend his honor. That is the feature of a Muslim, a mu'min. We need to ask ourselves, as Muslims today, do we have these qualities in us? Are we protecting our brothers? Are we defending their honor and dignity? If not, then we have not reached that level of iman which Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking of, and which the Sharia desires of us. So this needs to be imbibed within us. In another hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يظلمه ولا يسلمه. A Muslim never oppresses another Muslim. A Muslim does not put another brother in ruin. He does not make his life difficult in court. He does not make his life difficult in a police station. He does not make his life difficult in different scenarios. That is not the quality of a believer. A believer always supports, protects, and defends another believer, irrespective of the situation, irrespective of the circumstance. Look at the lives of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in. Regardless of the situation, they would forgive and forget. When Fath Makkah took place, imagine the torture that the Sahaba incurred for all those years, the 20 years that they incurred. Their mothers were affected, their fathers were affected, their families were affected to a large and a great extent. But then when they entered Makkah, general amnesty for everyone. They forgave everyone, and they let everyone go. That was the quality of Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in. And this was in regards to non-Muslims. Imagine the akhlaq and character when it came to Muslims. So, a Muslim never oppresses another Muslim. We witness in the recent riots and looting that took place, many of our Muslim brothers, their businesses were affected. Their businesses were either burnt down, the stock was either taken out from the business, or it was burnt down. Then there were businessmen in our Muslim community. Alhamdulillah, through their dealing with the community, Muslim and non-Muslim, the honesty they displayed, the generosity they displayed, that became a means of their businesses being protected. So, the business place, the marketplace is one of those places where the true akhlaq and character of a believer is on display. And that is where a person must take full advantage of. From 8 to 5 you are in the marketplace. That is your opportunity to display the true character of a believer. That is the opportunity to ensure that your business is in accordance with the Sharia. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when the seller and the buyer, they are together, there's a deal taking place. In sadaqa wa bayyana burika lahuma fi bay'ihima. If they are truthful and if they declare the defects of that asset, of that product, of that item, burika lahuma fi bay'ihima, at the end of the transaction, there'll be barakah, there'll be blessings in that transaction. وَإِن كَتَمَا وَكَذَبَا مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا. But if they lie, they deceive, and they hide the defects of that asset, مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا, there'll be no barakat in that transaction whatsoever. So, if a person is selling a car, he knows there's an issue with the engine, he knows there's an issue with the gearbox, he has a duty as a Muslim to declare that defect to his Muslim brother. If the stock that he's selling, the purchaser, the buyer understands it to be of a higher quality, but here he's selling it, he's selling a lower quality, a lower grade item to him, he has a duty and responsibility to inform that customer of the defect in that item. Otherwise, if he doesn't do that, no barakat in that. He may not see that barakat from that purchase. It will affect him later on, he may not even notice. But there'll never be barakat when a person lies, deceives, and when he does not expose the defects in that item. After you expose it, let the customer, let the purchaser decide for himself whether he wants to take it or not. But your duty as a Muslim is to declare that. Now, in the recent weeks, we've noticed a general sense of despondency, a general sense of despair. One, the pandemic. Two, the riots and looting that took place. There are businesses that have decided that they are not opening up anymore. They've closed for good because of the losses they experienced. Now remember, whenever we are faced with a difficulty, whenever we are faced with a circumstance, we go back to Quran and Sunnah. What should be the approach of a believer in these circumstances? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us and explained to us that a believer's attitude is unique. In asabathu sabba shakara fakana khayran lah. If he is faced with prosperity, alhamdulillah, he's not proud about it. He thanks Allah. And that is good for him. Wa in asabathu dharra sabara fakana khayran lah. And if he is faced with adversity, then he makes sabr. He is patient. He endures the result of what had happened, what had transpired, and that is good for him. He doesn't complain, you know what, if I had security, or if I had this type of insurance in place, then nothing of this would have happened, I wouldn't have experienced these losses. No. It happened, make sabr, and be patient. At the same time, sabr does not mean that a person must sit back and relax, and, you know, let everything happen and let everything go by as it is. If something has happened to your business today, and you were benefiting people in the past, whether it was in the form of convenience, or whether it was in the form of donating in charity, etc., make that intention, Ya Allah, this has happened. But I make intention that the same benefit that I was giving to the community, I make that intention to continue with that benefit afterwards. There will be businesses who will have to start from the bottom, right from the bottom. But remember, this is the system of Allah. We cannot run away from the system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We'll definitely, most definitely, we will test you with fear, we will test you with hunger. What happened in those few days? Some places, food couldn't enter the town, food couldn't enter the city. People were even considering buying off stolen goods from others. It was an intense situation. So much fear in the people. People were worried and asking, what is happening? How can this happen to us? Allah says, we will test you with that. And then there will also be losses of what? Losses of wealth, property, life, and fruits of your labor. But then Allah's message is what? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Basharat and congratulations to those that made sabr and those that were patient. But again, patience does not mean we sit back and let everything go by. Stand up and take benefit in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us as an ummah. And in doing so, when we're starting off again, when we're going back to that business, remember, take lesson from what had transpired. There's either, we need to look at it from two angles. One angle is, it was a test from Allah, most definitely. But on the other hand, introspect, in my business, is everything in accordance to Sharia? Have I been involving myself in conventional insurance? Have I been taking loans with interest? Have I been oppressing my workers? Am I asking them to work overtime and not paying them correctly for the time that they have worked? What have I done that has brought this to my business? What have I done that has brought these losses to my business? This is a time for introspection. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا اتِّقَاءً لِلَّهِ إِلَّا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ. That you will not leave anything out of fear of Allah. You fear Allah that, you know what, this is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in the Quran through his sunnah, etc. You leave that out of fear of Allah, Allah will give you better than that. Allah will give you much better than that. Today you may not see it, tomorrow you will see it, your family will see it. At the same time, we need to introspect and see whether our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in order. One is salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about men. The great men in the Quran, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these men. In other words, these men are praiseworthy. Who are they? Business, deals, transactions, investments, nothing distracts them from the remembrance of Allah. When it comes to the time of salah, business is closed, they are in the masjid. When it comes to paying zakat, there's no delay of paying zakat. Zakat is paid on time to the cent, if not more. Those are men who are praiseworthy. Not now, you know, making the qaza of the salah later when we come home. Not now paying the zakat 2 years later or 5 years later. Everything is done on time. They are not distracted with anything because they know the ultimate maqsad and purpose in this world is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An excellent example for us to relate to was the late Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayhi. He narrates himself. He says that in 1971, when his father-in-law traveled for Hajj, then his father-in-law gave him the business to run for 4 months. Mawlana says that he had no experience in business, but alhamdulillah, through his effort, the business benefited and the community around the business also benefited. So he says that he set a routine after Fajr Salah. He would engage in Surah Yasin, read some zikr, etc. And then he would proceed to the business. He would open the business at 8:30 in the morning. And then he set this routine for Monday to Friday or Thursday, that if Azan was at 1 o'clock, then Mawlana made sure that the business started to close at 12:30. And by 12:45, the business is closed. And Mulana and those that were in the business would then make it in the masjid before azan. Before azan, before 1 o'clock. And then the business would open after the salah was completed. So this was his practice, this was his routine. But on Saturdays, because he was in Richmond at that time, people would come in, there would be a buying frenzy. So people would say, you know what, we'll see whether Maulana closes the shop at Zohar time, because no one here closes the shop at Zohar time. Everyone's buying here. Maulana said he followed the same routine. At 12:30, he ensured the shop was closed by 1 o'clock, and then he proceeded for Salah. He came back, people were there, people were buying. So Maulana says that just like a person has business hours, he displays the business hours, this is lunchtime, so on and so forth, a person must have his business hours for Salah as well. When you display that, it makes it easy for everyone to understand that, you know what, it is the time of Salah, business shop is closed, we are not going to be attended to here. So this happened. Then when his father-in-law returned from Hajj, and the people started saying and telling his father-in-law that, you know what, your son-in-law must have run your business bankrupt, because the business was more closed than it was open. So Maulana told his father-in-law, take a rest, 2-3 days, and then we'll talk. 2-3 days pass, and then his father-in-law returns to the business. Maulana presents the books to the father-in-law, and his father-in-law was surprised. There was a 30% increase in the business. Maulana says, would all that closing of the shop before azan, being in the masjid for the sunnah, being in the masjid for the first salah, not foregoing any obligation of the sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him and blessed that business with 30% increase. So logically, how would we think? You know what, you close the business, less customers will come, less profits, so on and so forth. But that is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. You give priority to the sharia, you give priority to your salah, Allah will give you barakat in your business. And if we look at the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that instruct your family to perform salah, be steadfast on it. And with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links salah with sustenance. We don't need your sustenance, we don't need your business. We will give you. We sustain you, we will give you. And this is testament to that. As long as a person's salah is in order, his obligations that he has towards the sharia are in order, he will most definitely benefit from that. He will not lose. If you look at the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they all were self-sufficient, they all worked and they sustained themselves, and this is nothing to be shy of. There will be businesses that will have to start right from the bottom. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, ma akala ahadun ta'aman qattu khayran min ay ya'kula min 'amali yadihi. There's no better food than that food which a man puts in his mouth through his own manual work, his own manual labor. There's no better food than that. It's halal, it's pure. And as Nabi sallallahu mentioned, wa inna nabiyallahi Dawud alayhi salam kana ya'kulu min 'amali yadihi. Dawud alayhi salam, he worked and he ate from the fruits of his own labor. And many Anbiya alayhi salam were like that. If you look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was 25 years of age, and then Khadija radiallahu anha needed someone to do business with. So then the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached and he agreed to do business. At this point, it is important to note that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not work as an employee of Khadija radiallahu anha. Many understand that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked as an employee of Khadija radiallahu anha. The Nabi of Allah worked as a partner with Khadija radiallahu anha, as a mudarib. What does that mean? It means that she would give him stock and would tell him that, you know what, travel to this place, sell the goods, when you return, we share the profits. That was the arrangement between Khadija radiallahu anha and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she would do that with a lot of men. She did not initiate a business. She inherited a business. And that business continued by her getting others to do business for her or partnering with her. And in that way, that is how the business continued. And through that, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also married her because she was happy with his honesty, etc. On one occasion, a person came to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam And he was begging from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa asked him, do you have anything at home? He said, yes, I've got two things. I got a piece of cloth which half I put on the ground, half I wear, and I have a bowl through which I drink water. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go and get that. So he came back, he brought those two pieces. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked whoever was sitting there, who's willing to buy this? One sahabi picked up his hand, he said, one dirham. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the second, third time, who's ready to buy this for more than that? Sahabi picked up his hand, he said, two dirhams. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sold it to him. Then he took the two dirhams, he said, one dirham, take now, buy food, give it to your family. The other dirham, go buy an axe and bring it back to me. So that's what the sahabi did. He came back, he brought the axe. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a handle, he fitted the handle onto that axe, and then he told him, I don't want to see you until a fortnight has passed. Go, take some wood, go and sell it, and come back to me. So that's what he did. And he came back with 10 dirhams, some of which he used to buy food, some of which he used to buy other things. And then the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarked and said that this is better for you than having a black spot on your face on the day of Qiyamah just from begging. And then he said that begging is only permissible for three people. The first is a person who is in extreme poverty. Not a person who has made poverty a business. Second, a person who is in serious debt. Not a person who has made debt a means of getting money from others. We've seen cases where a person will take out a loan, he'll take out a bond, and then he cannot pay it. Obviously, he knows he cannot pay it, but then he will ask others for zakat, use zakat to pay off that. Then again, he'll take out another loan and another bond and use zakat to pay that off. That is not the people we are talking about here. Begging, permissible for a person who is in serious debt. It was inflicted upon him, it was not voluntary. Permissible for him. And then the third, a person where a court of law had made a judgment that he has to pay a certain amount of money, etc., and he doesn't have that money, then that person can beg and that person can ask others. So, this is what the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, that the skills that you have, the ability that you have, use that and seek benefit. إِحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكْ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. Seek Allah's name, وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. Do not give up, do not despair. Allah has given you abilities. Allah has given you the facilities around you. Use that and do not depend on handouts. Use the abilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and take benefit from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant one and all istiqama. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless one and all in their business and to grant them barakah in their business. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.